जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। वेलकम एवरीबॉडी ऑन दिस ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ दशहरा। सो I have chosen this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam to discuss today. The Ramayana is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but I chose this verse, which is not directly connected, so hopefully everybody sees the connection. We'll see. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So Dashahara or Vijayadashmi, Dasha means 10, Hara means defeat. Dashahara means the defeat of the 10-headed demon king Ravan. And Ravan obviously tried to kill and conquer Shri Ram. Shri Ram is our worshipable Lord. And the reason this battle happened was that Ravan kidnapped Sita Devi. And then Shri Ram basically, to rescue her and to destroy him, he set out with the army of monkeys and attacked Lanka, Ravan's Lanka. So Ravan was thinking till the moment of death that this Ram is a human being. Ravan was not an ordinary demon. He was like a super criminal, you know, much, much more powerful than any criminal and much, much more, what is a good word for it? Sinful? Much more sinful than any criminal you can imagine on the face of the earth today. Magnified millions of times. And he had a special boon from Lord Brahma that he was not going to be killed by any demigod, any Gandharva, any Kinnara, you know, all the different inhabitants of the heavenly planets and also Patal Lok, all the universe. Basically, there was nobody who could stand up to him. He had that boon. But the only thing that was missing in that boon, as Shiva and Brahma often do, they leave out a critical essential ingredient, and that is human beings in this case. In the case of Ravan, he was susceptible to a human being. He could be defeated by a human being. So Lord Ram decided to come onto this earth in the form of a human being to defeat Ravan. But what Ravan would always think about him as an ordinary human being, you know, he can be defeated. I am the greatest demon, greatest asur, greatest rakshas. The demigods couldn't beat me. I have conquered the whole universe. Indra is scared of me. So he made the cardinal mistake of considering Lord Ram as a man made of flesh and blood. But Lord Ram is not made of flesh and blood. He is the Supreme. And the Supreme, when he advents on the earth, comes in a spiritual form. So Lord Ram doesn't have any blood in his veins, or any muscle or any bone. He's pure spirit. And Ravan missed that essential detail, you would say. And he thought, oh, he's a human being, ordinary, I can defeat him. But Lord Ram is inconquerable. He cannot be conquered. He cannot be defeated, as he showed. Ravan is child's play for him. So I was meditating on this fact that Krishna or Ram cannot be conquered. He's the mightiest, strongest. And then I remembered this lecture I heard of Srila Prabhupada. I looked it up today, 1975 in Caracas. He gave a lecture, and the title of the lecture was, Who Can Conquer God? So it's not a rhetorical question. He gives the answer. You know, a devotee can conquer God. And he quotes this verse, which is up there, 10.14.3. And Prabhupada quoted this verse many, many times in this context. Who can conquer God? So Lord Ram is unconquerable, but he can be conquered. And that's what this verse is explaining. So let's responsibly recite this verse. 10.14.3. ज्ञाने ज्ञाने प्रयासं उदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति सन्मुखरितां भवदीय वार्तां स्थाने स्थितः श्रुतिगतां तनुवान् मनोभिर् ये प्रायशो जितो जितोऽप्यसि तैस्त्रिलोक्याम् ज्ञाने प्रयासमुदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति सन्मुखरितां भवदीय वार्तां स्थाने स्थितः श्रुतिगतां तनुवान् मनोभिर् ये प्रायशो जितो जितोऽप्यसि तैस्त्रिलोक्याम् ज्ञाने प्रयासम् उदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति सन्मुखरितां भवदीय वार्तां स्थाने स्थितः श्रुतिगतां तनुवान् मनोभिर् ये प्रायशो जितो जितोऽप्यसि तैस्त्रिलोक्याम् ज्ञाने प्रयासं उदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति सन्मुखरितां भवदीय वार्तां स्थाने स्थितः श्रुतिगतां तनुवान् मनोभिर् ये प्रायशो जितो जितोऽप्यसि तैस्त्रिलोक्याम् ज्ञाने प्रयासं उदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति सन्मुखरितामवदीय वार्तां स्थाने स्थितः श्रुतिगतां तनुवान् मनोभिर् ये प्रायशो जितो जितोऽप्यसि तैस्त्रिलोक्याम् So the translation and the purport is a little long. We don't have much time today, so I will read part of it. So the translation is, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, words and mind offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So the purport is, here the word udapasya clearly indicates that one should not even slightly endeavor to understand the absolute truth by the process of mental speculation, for invariably it carries one to an imperfect, impersonal understanding of God. The word Jivanti indicates that a devotee who always hears about Lord Krishna will go back home, back to Godhead. Even if he can do nothing except maintain his existence and hear topics concerning the Lord. And then I'll read this paragraph. Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the words Tanuvan Manobhi by the body, words and mind in three ways. In reference to devotees, through their body, words and mind, they are able to conquer Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. Thus becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness, they can touch his lotus feet with their hands, call him to come with their words, and attain his direct audience within their minds simply by thinking about him. In the case of non-devotees, the words Tanuvan Manobhi refer to the word Ajita, unconquered. and indicate that those not engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna cannot conquer the absolute truth by their bodily strength, verbal expertise, mental power. Despite all their endeavors, the ultimate truth remains beyond their reach. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Jitam Nina Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. So this purport and verse is, I think, perfect for describing Ravan's fate. Ravan, you would say, is at the pinnacle of mental speculation. He has the strength to defeat everybody that he can see, but he doesn't have the knowledge that he is still limited. Despite the fact that he's stronger and, you know, than the demigods and than everybody else in the universe, he's still limited. This process of mental speculation is a very risky and dangerous thing. In the modern age, we have a lot of confidence in our intelligence. You know, the science has gone far ahead now, and we can do a lot of things, manipulate the material world for our advantages. And in this process, unfortunately, we as a society, as we have advanced in the pursuit of scientific knowledge, we have started to speculate about God. Now, who is God? Many people think that God is dead or God doesn't exist. There is a body of thought that thinks that God is limited in some way and is probably apologetic for all the suffering in the world, but it's out of his control, can't do much about it. Understanding of God has become a pastime. Either understanding him or pastime in the sense of a hobby. I didn't mean pastime in the sense of Krishna's pastime. Either understanding him or rejecting him, or establishing that he doesn't exist. This is kind of the condition of the world today, mental speculation. So the Ravan, it never occurs to him that, you know, there is somebody who has created the universe, who maintains it, somebody has created the atoms in his body, and so on. It never occurs to him. He begins to think that's the ultimate perfection of mental speculation, that he is God. Undefeatable, invincible, is God. And there is no question that he did not follow this process that's described. This verse is very interesting, I like it very much. The first line of the verse explains, Jnani Prayasamudapasya, stop mentally speculating who God is. You know, trying to analyze him. Prabhupada would say, we don't try to understand Krishna with your teeny intelligence. So how can the limited, we are limited, we have five senses, we can perceive only what's in the material world. How can the limited analyze, understand, pursue, and ultimately conquer the unlimited, the infinite? We are finite. Ravan is finite. Lord Ram is infinite. So how is Lord Ravan ever going to conquer? It's Ram. It's a completely wasteful endeavor, waste of time. So for the limited to understand the unlimited, the first thing is to give up this process. Don't try to understand, don't try to analyze. Then what to do? Jnani Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva, become humble. Humility implies, I am limited and Ram, Krishna is beyond my perception. First recognize that, we are become humble. Then, Jivanti San Mukharitam Bhavadiya Vartam, spend your life listening to Bhavadiya Vartam, the stories, not the stories, the pastimes, the leelas of Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. So the pastimes of Ram are described in the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, for example, or Tulsi Ramayana. So spend your life listening to, this is what the verse is saying, the second line, the topics of the Krishna Katha, but from the mouths of some Mukharitam, pure devotees, mouths of the self-realized souls, the acharyas. Sthanesthita, it doesn't matter what position we are in. Sthanesthita, Shruti Gatan, Tanuvan Manodhir. Try to serve Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, Tanuvan Manodhir, with mind, body, and intelligence. And then, that person who is unconquerable by the most powerful person in the universe becomes conquered. Ajita is unconquerable, but becomes Ajita, conquered. So, if you look, examine the Ramayana and look at Ravan's progression, there is a pivotal point in the Ramayana where Ravan embarks on the path of destruction, self-destruction. And that pivotal point comes when Shurpankha, his sister goes to Ram in the forest. She sees him and wants him as her husband, but sees that Sita is the competition, so she tries to kill Sita. You know, that's how it's described. So Lakshman comes forward and chops off her nose and ears, because you know it's not proper protocol in the Vedic culture to kill a woman. A man can't kill a woman. So chops off the ears and nose, and then Shurpankha goes crying to Ravan. And she starts describing to Ravan what happened, and Ravan's really angry, but he's also cunning enough to understand that, you know, Ram has just killed 14,000 of my soldiers, so he should be handled carefully. So Shurpankha starts to talk, you know, relate the incident, and she's very cunning. She says, actually, I saw his wife, Sita Devi, and she's extremely beautiful. And I went there to get her hand for you. Ravan says, yes, okay, what happened? Then she starts describing Sita Devi, her physical beauty. So who's been described here? Krishna or Ram's energy, right? Sita Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So God is being described to Ravan, but from whose mouth? Shurpankha. From her mouth he's hearing. And so what happens? The effect is not purifying. His lust is aroused for Sita Devi. And when the lust is aroused, you know, he decides to kidnap her. And that's the one of the pivotal moments in the Ramayana. So hearing about Ram or hearing about Krishna, we have to hear, that's why the verse says, San Mukharitam, from the mouths of the acharyas, the pure devotees. Not just anybody, because it doesn't necessarily have the effect it's intended to have. So Ravan also had access to devotees of the Lord. Vibhishan was his brother. Vibhishan also was a big, giant rakshas. He was very strong. But he was born in that Asur kul, but he was a devotee of Lord Ram. And so when the battle was about to begin, when Ram and the monkeys were coming to fight Ravan, Vibhishan gave him advice, good counsel, please, you've done the immoral thing, return Sita back. Otherwise you're going to be destroyed. He could see that Ram was not ordinary. He described to him, you see what Ram has done. See what even his servants have done. His monkeys, the Hanuman came and burnt the city down just by jumping across the ocean. Can anybody of us do that? You know, just jump in one leap across the ocean. Ram's not ordinary. Return Sita back. So he spoke up. But Ravan kind of didn't want to hear. It was like poison. Hearing Vibhishan's words were like poison to his ears. So even though San Mukharitam, the devotee, was there and was telling him about Ram, about the divinity of Lord Ram, Ravan was in no mood to listen. Okay, and that's, you know, led to his destruction. So why was he not swayed? That's a longer topic. I'll come back to it maybe at the end of your time. Because I want to leave some time for questions. So, you know, this is Ravan, the demon king, and we might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with us? I mean, how is the Ramayana really relevant to me? Okay, I'm hearing about this Leela, but Ravan is Ravan. He's kind of the most sinful person there is, you know, in the whole universe. Doesn't really apply to me. But see, that's not true. So let's discuss the fate of a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, in the Ramayana, and that is Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is the mother. So, you know, Maharaj Dasharatha, who is the father of Lord Ram, had three wives, Kaushalya, the oldest, and Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. Kaushalya's son was Lord Ram, Sumitra's son was Lakshman, and Kaikeyi had two sons, Bharat and Shatrughna. So, Lord Ram had a especially affectionate relationship with Kaikeyi. Even though he was the son of Kaushalya, he had a especially affectionate, close relationship with Kaikeyi, you know, Vatsalya Ras. So clearly, if you're the mother of God, that's an exalted position. I mean, that's almost like the ultimate goal of life, you know, to have a loving, some relationship with God, with Krishna. So now what happened though? On Kaikeyi's insistence, Lord Ram was banished to the forest. He had to give up his throne and wander in the forest. And his wife Sita, so Ram, when he left, was 26 years old. Mother Sita was 16 years old. You can imagine, a young, going to the forest, from Mother Kaikeyi's point of view, banishing them into the forest. They had to walk in a forest full of ponds, full of wild animals, all kinds of dangers. These are princes, you know, not used to this lifestyle. What happened? Pure devotee of Krishna tells Krishna to go suffer. For what? So again, it comes about because of hearing. In Ravana's case, he heard Shurpankha and he fell down. And he decided not to hear Vibhishan's advice, and so he fell down. In Kaikeyi's case, she heard the words of Manthara. Now Manthara was a male servant of Kaikeyi, and there was some attachment there to Kaikeyi, to Manthara on Kaikeyi's part, because Manthara raised her. She was her nurse in the Kekaya Raj, where she came from. And so there was some familial attachment, you could say. She was a maid servant, but she also looked at her like a mother, you would say. And so Maharaj Dasharatha decided to appoint Lord Ram as the king. It was a coronation ceremony planned. But it was done hastily because his astrologers had predicted that there was some ill omens in the charts, and you know, there was going to be some great trouble. And Dasharatha interpreted that as his death was coming. And so he wanted to quickly get over the business of crowning Ram as king. As it so happened, unfortunately, Bharat and Shatrughna were not there. They had gone away to their grandparents' house in Kekaya. So when it was announced, Maharaj Dasharatha decided, tomorrow, it's going to happen tomorrow. He decided today that we're going to make Ram king tomorrow. So there was very little time. And Manthara caught wind of this, and being the scheming person she was, she decided to upset the apple cart. Lord Ram should not be king. He cannot be. Bharat has to be king, because then I become the maidservant of Queen Kaikeyi, who would be then the mother of the king. She was a hunchback, and she would be insulted by the other maidservants in the palace, you know, the butt of jokes and ridicule. So she thought that if she got that position, then, you know, people would be more careful. So that's the small, you know, benefit she was going to get out of it. And so she decided to go and poison Kaikeyi's mind. So she approached Kaikeyi in this distraught mood, crying, wailing, inconsolable. What happened? Well, Dasharatha has betrayed you. Your husband has betrayed you. He's not a person to be trusted. His words should not be trusted. He has betrayed you. What has he done? Well, he has decided to crown Ram, Lord Ram, king. And he has done it in a way, he has schemed so that Bharat, the competition is not there at home. And you've not been told, you're finding out from me. As it turns out, Dasharatha was on his way to tell her, you know, shortly. So Kaikeyi couldn't understand this. She was a devotee. You know, she said, this is fantastic news. She was happy. Her heart was blooming with joy. She took out her diamond necklace and gave it to Manthara, and then she said, but don't say these things again to me, because if you do, I'm going to have your tongue pulled out. She's the queen, she can get it done. So that was a good response. If there is somebody who's blaspheming, that's the offense, right? Guru Avagnya Shruti Shastra Nindanam, right? Criticizing scripture, criticizing the devotees, that's an offense. She should not have heard it. But now that you have said it, don't say a word more. I'm extremely happy with you. Here is this necklace, and go away. But she didn't say go away. I'm saying go away. If she had said go away, kicked her out, that would have been good. But she didn't. Why? Because of that attachment. She insulted her by saying, this is why, you know, handicapped people are, they're not to be trusted, or some slurs like that. And so Manthara took advantage of that. You call me handicapped. Yes, I am handicapped. She went on in the whole melodrama. And Kaikeyi felt guilty, and so she said, don't worry, I'm sorry, I said that, I didn't mean it, you know, I was just angry at what you said. And then started the dialogue, where Manthara started to criticize and poison her mind against her own husband. And what got her ultimately was Kaushalya. Kaushalya is going to make you a male servant. When Ram becomes king, Bharat is going to be exiled or he's going to be killed, okay? And you're going to have to serve Kaushalya for the rest of your life. And that entered her heart. That entered her heart. So you see that Kaikeyi is a devotee. she doesn't want to go down this path. But hearing, she heard Mantra's poison, and that was enough. So if we think that, you know, we accept Radhe Shyam Sundar and Krishna Balaram Gaur Nithai as our lords, and we accept Lord Ram as our lord, it's not enough. One has to be continuously vigilant. That is why Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nahishtiki. This verse says that to destroy all that is impure in the heart, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, one should constantly listen, just like this verse is saying, to the topics Harikatha, Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Ramayana. But the verse says Nityam, regularly. It doesn't say periodically, every now and then. You know, we are devotees. I know the Ramayana. I know what it is about. I've read the Bhagavatam once, maybe twice, maybe five times. I'm done with that. Let me move on to the next thing. That's not the process. The process that's described here, Nityam Bhagavatam, regularly one must hear. By doing that, we accomplish two things. One is, we don't hear nonsense. And the second, we hear purifying topics of the Lord. And that process, if one follows, then one can conquer the unconquerable. Ajita jito, one can conquer. So we got 4 minutes left. If there are any questions, comments, suggestions.
Usually Prabhupada would say in the lectures that there is a military that when two armies are fighting, they don't go in the city and like cause problem to the innocent people. Now, the case of Hanumanji is that he went to Lanka and he burned the city. So how would you explain that? Why did Hanumanji give trouble to like innocent, I don't know they were innocent, but other people over there?
Let me think about that. That's a tough question. I wasn't expecting that. Anybody has an answer, quick answer here? Adaji? If I can outsource the answering process, let me put it.
I want to make sure I got the question right. But the question was, like, why did everybody have to suffer? Because the town.
He's saying Hanuman, he burned the city of Lanka, so he troubled the innocent citizens of Lanka. Why did he do that? That's the question.
Well, I know that Prabhupada said, like, it says in the scriptures that the head of the, even like the president, he has to accept 1/6 of the reaction, you know, of all the people. So it seems like that when you're in a village and there's some atrocity committed, in one case it was a atrocity committed against Lord Nityananda, that village suffered terribly. So somehow or other, when you're connected, there is a karmic reaction involved with that.
Karma is a good answer. Yeah. Anything else? I think it's a question here.
Arun, so you said that mantra poisoned the mind of Kaikeyi. Now I do agree that it's important to pick our association, and association has a lot of effect on us. I do, however, want to point out that it's also our choice to respond in a certain way. So it might be like denying responsibility for our own actions if Kaikeyi blames it on Mantra, right? However, I think it kind of goes both ways. You got to choose your association. It's also your own.
Certainly.
Free will.
See, the thing is, one cannot fault Mantra alone. Kaikeyi had a free will. Nobody was holding a gun to her head to go and banish Ram. So she had free will. Now, we have free will, but it is also a question of what we expose ourselves to. See, this slope to sinful activities is described in the second chapter. Okay, and the slope is as follows. Dhyayato vishayan punsaha sangasteshu upajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodho vijayate. It's 2 verses. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibramaha, smriti branchat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashivu. The fall down of a person is described here. The first step, dhyayato vishayan punsaha. contemplation in the mind is the first step. Sangasteshu, when we hanker after something in the mind, we get attached. Sangat samjayate kamaha, that attachment becomes lust, from kam comes krodh, because we don't get satisfied, so we become angry. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, we fall into delusion. And then it goes on, and then we fall down. So what happens? We want to protect ourselves from stimuli. For example, if one says, you know, look at the American pornography industry, that's an example. You know, you see anywhere and everywhere products, when they're marketed based on sex. So now, should one expose oneself to these stimuli? No. Because we know that the consequences we're going to contemplate our mind, which is not under control, and that's going to lead us down the slippery slope. So it's both. There's free will, but the free will should be exercised in not choosing to be exposed to stimuli. One has to be careful. It is better to be paranoid about these things. That's my view.
Yeah.
It's always one's own choice, but it also makes it a lot easier if you see advertisements and things like that to make a certain choice.
I think it is also important for the sadhaka to protect himself or herself from, you know, nasty stimuli, like mantras. The mantras
Thank
of this
you.
World. There's a question here. Mukhya Mataji is hovering at the back, maybe time to stop.
The verse that you quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Nastap Prayesha Padrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya, Prabhupada says on the purport of that verse, right at the beginning, that this is the remedy to eradicate all the inauspicious things within the heart. The association, rendering service to the Bhagavatas, rendering service to the pure devotees of the Lord. Conversely, when we associate with the non-devotees of the Lord, like Shuparnaka, then we can get a different result.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nitai Gaur Premanande.